Welcome to Juice Podcast. I'm Emily Harmon.
And I'm Gwen Douglas.
And today we're very close to Christmas, so we thought we would bring a few things, a few bottles of winter shots, winter warmers that we both like. So we're back at my house, obviously, again today. What have we got?
I guess also, like you've said, winter warmers, they are kind of all specifically in the same genre, let's say, right?
Yeah.
So we've got like Schnapps, aka Eau de Vie, aka a few other things,
yes.
I think.
Basically, I think, I don't know what that, I think they're all spirits though, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. So there's no liqueurs.
I managed all to spirits. Bring some Gewürztraminer because Emily gifted me this lovely bottle of Gewürztraminer.
Surprisingly, I actually did do that.
Yeah. Eau de Vie, which I haven't tried
she
yet,
earned
so I'm
it.
Very excited to try. It's like haunting her. It's coming back.
No, I'm happy to try it because the good thing about spirits is you lose a lot of flavour.
Okay, cool.
So we've got,
what did you bring?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I bought first. So I bought actually a bottle that I've got half of, and that's because last time I bought this out was with Gwen and we drank half a bottle between us.
And I like that when she brought the bottle out, I was like, oh, what's this? She's like we drank the other half. So, yeah.
It had been quite late in the day. So, Gouet de Reine Claude Doré. So, like, it's a plum liqueur from Laurent Cazot. One of my favourite distillers, and actually one of my favourite sort of alcohol producers in France.
Okay.
So he's based down in Gaillac. We'll talk a bit more about him when we get to that. And that's 2014, because he does one batch of spirit liqueurs per year.
Oh, interesting.
And the other one I bought, it's another friend of mine. So you can't buy this commercially. You actually can't buy this commercially everywhere, so it's maybe not that useful for people tuning in. It's a grappa from Chianti, which we'll talk about when we get there. I think we should do... You've tasted this as well, but you might not remember where.
Oh, no.
Do you remember after the Real Wine Fair, we won't name the restaurant, but we had a private room upstairs.
Oh, yes.
I bought this down.
Oh.
And this, we were doing shots of this as well.
Oh, my God. It's
not too much because that's all that was drunk. So actually, we've consumed both of these bottles. You're the only person I've drunk these and the other company as well, but you've been part of...
So I'm excited to revisit them, not smash hammered, where I might
remember them. What have you got?
So, this morning when I was telling Lucas that we were going to do like a schnapps eau de vie episode, he was like, make sure to take the good schnapps from the bar. Get the Schwechka.
Whilst you're in the chopper.
Yeah, exactly. So I've brought Lucas's choice, the Gugelhopf Schwechka brand.
Sexy name. Gugelhopf Schwechka. It's like, rolls off the tongue.
So it's basically a plum eau de vie, so Schwechka. Schwechka being plum. And
Schwechka is also a specific type of plum.
Like the little...
Yeah, you see them a lot in Brandenburg, but very, very common. They're like an Austrian... Like
dark
purple skin, and then they're like greeny, yellowy inside.
I wonder if it's the same... I wonder if it's the same one that they... Because there's lots of, like, desserts that are... also made with plums, wintry desserts, so like knödel, like dumplings with plums inside, and like those kind of plummy desserts.
But the harvest for them in Brandenburg, I went picking them like about, I would say by the time this airs, maybe later, but I was picking them in August, early September.
Cool. That's
and turn them into jam.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
Jams is So a lot of these like dumplings have like a jammy sort of center. So this was Lucas being like, I can't remember if it's. I had written it down, but of course my phone is now recording, and so is yours.
Yeah.
But I think it was Salzburg. I know it was somewhere in Austria.
Okay. I was just looking for the 41%. I think we should start with that.
Yeah. And then the other one I brought was the one that you brought me, so maybe you know more about it, but probably not. I mean, it doesn't have much info on it other than it's F. Mayer and it's from France.
So what's very interesting is we've bought, weirdly, this is very funny, so we've both bought plum eau de vies and two grappas.
But I think that plum eau de vie is kind of a like classic flavour for eau
de vie. But isn't it funny that we've both done that?
Yeah. Great minds think alike.
I think they do.
Yeah, but I think like plum, when I think of these kind of spirits, I think of like schnapps, I think of French eau de vie, I think of palinka, I think of like the sort of Eastern European things that often come in plum, cherry,
and more so than like more so in the UK we have a habit of drinking cognac, Armagnac.
I mean, I love a bit of Armagnac.
Yeah, like brandies and whiskies after dinner, maybe a Negroni.
But very small pours here.
That's right. We can start small and we can always have more.
Yeah.
And but I think you're right. It's a very European and especially more towards the east.
Yes.
But in the whole of Europe. Oh, well, France as well. Paul William. Yeah. You know, so I think love, the whole of Europe.
I mean, you know that normally if you come to my house when it's like schnapps o'clock.
Yeah,
when Lucas
schnapps.
Pulls out, I pull out my bottle of peach eau de vie. Because that I like better than some of the like maybe you're stronger. Sure. Yeah, because some of the Austrian schnapps is... Some of my favorite ones, I mean, the better ones, of course, the more expensive, fancier ones like walnut, that's usually quite expensive, usually yeah. really dark, and it's much smoother. Some of them can be quite full on. So I find the peach one for me is like...
Not too bad.
Not too bad.
Well...
This one smells good.
It does smell good.
Actually, smells
and
quite
so
well.
Here, the reason why we decided to do this was because, one, it's getting bloody freezing here in Berlin, you know, and you need to stay warm, so it's either Glühwein or schnapps. We've already attempted Glühwein before, and we probably will revisit that
we'll
at some point
again.
On video.
We'll when follow instructions.
Yeah, when the post-traumatic stress has worn off.
Yes.
No more.
When the bitterness of the pith and whatever else that
PPST.
PPST. I didn't know.
But yeah, so here it's very typical where people will, after dinner, drink
have
schnapps
and
have
yeah.
maybe a few to help digest. So
and I'm going to tell you, common. When you visit Austria, it is always schnapps o'clock. Like, I've had schnapps at 11 a.m., at noon, at, like, any time of the day, someone's like, schnapps? And you're kind of like, yeah, all right, it's on one fucking holiday.
Sounds like Georgia. Cha-cha?
Yeah.
Like, okay,
you're
it's
like,
fine, I'm just an alcoholic whilst
said
I'm
no.
here.
But it actually, for a spirit that smells really quite smooth.
No,
it doesn't have a really...
Well, it's quite fragrant and very delicate.
Yes. It's not giving you like a, like it doesn't make you want to drink it.
Yeah, and it is, I mean, you do smell the plum as well, which is very nice.
It's very nice. This is for me, like the smell of like plum schnapps is a really typical schnappsy smell for me, I think.
So this is 41%, so it's the lowest. I mean, my grappa doesn't even have an amount of alcohol in it, but I'm pretty sure it'd be more. But
this one, 45?
Yeah, that's 45 also.
45.
So I think we tried the two plums next to each other. So we're trying the older Google Hoff, or whatever you said.
Google Hoff, yeah.
Google Hoff.
G-U-G-L-F-H-O-F. Google Hoff. Very sexy name.
Yeah. Svetchkin brand.
Call me Hoff Google Hoff.
Qualitäts Österreicher.
Even when I was looking up information, like you don't, they're just like, it's 41%. It's made from plums. It's from Austria. I'm quite sure it was Salzburg, but it looked in the notes, and I'll post it.
Well, you're brave slurping.
No, it was a quick... It was a,
muscle
like,
memory. Oh, okay.
It was a teeth.
That's actually
very
nice. Smooth.
You're not getting any of that, like...
No, no.
It's not really, like, fiery. It's actually quite nice. I always forget because when we're having schnapps, it's not something I like overly think about.
You're just shotting it, are you?
No, I always sip it. I'm not a no.
I don't think about it.
No, but I mean like when we're having it, you're usually like, really full. So actually like even when if there is a bit of a burning sensation, you're usually quite happy for it because you're full of like dumplings and roasted meat. This is quite delicious. What do you think?
I think it's incredibly smooth. It's got lovely flavour to it. It's definitely very plummy.
There's also a little green note at the end that's kind of nice.
Yeah, I mean, I like it a lot. Nice, warming the belly, mm-hmm. which is very nice. This is exactly what we need in this weather.
Yeah,
I'm already picturing Christmas, just like necking some schnapps, staring at the TV tower, balcony covered in snow. That'd be
so nice.
Postcard.
What snow this year? I'll be in Austria all through Christmas, so I'll probably be having lots of schnapps of clocks. Meaning 2 weeks in Upper Austria.
Even if it's not snowing, you'll be imagining snow because you'll be so drunk on snaps.
I'm so excited.
You won't be able to tell me anything you've drunk or anything you've seen, but you'll have a vague idea that it was a good time.
I mean, I usually have a good time. It's been a while since I've been at Christmas in Austria, but, you know, Lucas being a chef and his mother's a trained master pastry chef.
Yeah.
That's going to be good times. I'm pretty excited. Yeah, yum. I'm going to down the rest of this. I have to say that pour was kind of the right amount of pour. I'm going to do a little...
Are you?
Mm-hmm. Also, just to clean the glass, because it's so fragrant. I feel like even though it's finished, you get that sort of like soapy smell residue.
I like that a lot. That's high quality. Well done, Lucas.
Svechka Gugelhoff. Delicious. So, your plum one.
Yeah, let's do it.
And your plum one is from where?
So we're in Gaillac, from the south of France. So Laurent Cazotte also produces wine, actually, but very, very famous for his liqueurs and eau de vie. You see, they're always in these lovely, beautiful, thin, elegant bottles.
So actually, a lot of the Austrian schnapses are usually also in these long, tall.
They're almost like an bottles. Olive oil. Yeah, so...
I mean, this is a different plum altogether, too.
Yes.
A green
I think it's a green
plum,
gauge, yeah.
Which is my favourite English
plum. And so this particular guy, he's based in the south, so we're in Languedoc. Gaillac's the area. It's an area actually quite known for its sweet wine production, using sort of its indigenous varietals like Malzac, Ondonc, okay. Luanda, Loyal. I hate that, saying that. I will conquer it. And then anyway, but he's really known for this. He has a farm which has lots of different plants on. So there are walnuts, there are tomatoes, plums, pears. His Poire William is incredible. And he's making very pure style of spirits where it's not adding any colour, adding any sweetness. It's a sort of a natural approach, if you like,
to
spirits and liqueurs. Like, he makes an amazing quince liqueur and a green tomato liqueur that are just amazing.
I was going to ask if he was making tomato liqueur. Oh, green, I would love
green tomato. It's really good.
Yum.
Yeah. We'll get a bottle for you.
Smash that.
Yeah, and I mean, to the point where he's so high quality that even he made, you know, the citrus cedrat?
No.
C-E-D-R-A-T. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but I think you say cedra. He made a bespoke bottling for that just for Michel Bras restaurant.
Oh, really?
Which is like a 3-star restaurant in La Gueule, where all the knives come from. So he's, you know, like restaurants appreciate the quality because he's doing a good job. Everything's grown, I think, organically, possibly biodynamically as well, but don't quote me on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cazotte. You could never, never regret having a bottle
of Cazotte. It already has, like, you know what it smells like?
This is very different.
Totally different. It's giving me like if you were to open a packet of bubble gum.
Yeah, it is. And it's a little, like, bit more bubble tropical mint. Almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it does definitely has like a sweeter, but I mean a yellow plum is already much sweeter than a red plum. Especially green gauges, they do get quite syrupy when they ripen.
Yeah.
Get two green gauge trees in
but it almost smells a bit like, it's funny, the more you go back to it, you can kind of see, obviously there's this plumminess, but then you can see things like, it's almost like unripe pineapple or something.
Yeah. That's why I think this like bubble gummy kind of like bubble mint, because there is something sort of like herbal.
What's bubble mint?
So bubble mint is like the very classic North American pink bubble gum.
Okay.
So it's usually like bubble gum actually has that pink bubble gum has mint in it. So it's like sweet. There's a soapy element to it, and then it's like that sort of pink, you know, like the candy coating of old sweets. Like if you opened a bubblegum machine, that's what it would smell like.
So, higher alcohol, because it's 45%. Do you feel that a bit? But I still think super elegant.
Really smooth, too.
It almost feels, I know it's funny, the other one feels sort of richer. Even though
this is
richer,
a bit thinner,
and smoother, whereas this feels sort of fresher and more fragrant.
Yeah, lighter.
Yeah.
But I also think that kind of... I'm curious when the, like, ripening... Because I do think that when I think about, like, red plums, it is an autumn kind of thing. But I think yellow plums are more like a summer, maybe late summer.
Don't ask me.
I don't know.
I don't know. And I don't know... I actually don't know the process of, like, how long he waits to produce them. We should actually go and visit him. Mm. He's a good guy.
But this is yum. Also, like, because it's not actually, like, that full-on. This would be nice even after a light meal for a little schnapps moment.
Well, we drank this that night when we had wine on the balcony. And I don't know if anyone else was there. No one else was there. Actually, we recorded some Juice episodes.
Maybe some forgotten episodes.
The Austrian wine, introduction to Austrian wine episode we did.
Did we?
And then we carried on drinking the bottles that were open. And that's when I started making that risotto, but it was from the full corn.
Oh.
Do you remember? It took
me ages.
It took like 3.5 hours. And by the time it had been made, it was just so... Because I'd added so much stock, because I was just like, why won't the rice cook? It's still fucking raw. It's been 2.5 hours.
We drank half a bottle of schnapps.
Yeah. Yes. No, the schnapps came after.
Then we were back. We had fun at that
4 a.m. Yeah, by the time we finished. But like, I started cooking the risotto. I can see why half is missing then. Midnight. Yeah, it's ready. It's awful.
But I can also see then why we've got half a bottle to be missing, honest, because it's quite easy to drink.
And also, it's not, in our defense, 500 mils. We could have easily finished a whole lot.
Yeah. But I think, like, it shows already, if we were just, like, sitting, you get also that... I mean, it's giving me that warm chest feeling, but it's not giving me, like, a whole lot of, like, tummy warmth,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, you don't feel like there's, like...
fire in my belly. Being, yeah. Yeah, no. Like, it feels, like, warming but light. That's good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Do you remember it at all?
I remember.
Do you remember the risotto?
Yes. Like, it was just going, as soon as you said risotto, I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I remember that night.
And I just remember I had so much stock, the risotto was,
and you're like,
quite
how
dark.
The fuck does this rice even, like, not cook? Like, there's so much liquid here. What
also,
are you
I
doing?
I pride myself on my risotto, because usually
it was
very good.
It was
good
still
risotto.
Delicious.
Just quite salty because it had become very reduced because I'd added so much stock.
Because
you came at one point and you were like, stop adding stock. You've added too much stock. Start adding water.
I also live with the chef, so like salt is, I'm living on the edge in the salt.
Yeah, and Lucas has quite a high tolerance of salt.
Oh, like we have to, I do salt reduction. So like I do like sort of, I go cold turkey off salt sometimes for like a week or two just to like reset my palate. Because I think, like, especially with chefs, they go crazy with salt sometimes, especially professional chefs. They live on they like to season to the edge.
And I don't understand sometimes. You know, one of my biggest pet peeves, though, I'm not saying Lucas does
no,
this.
No, but it's probably one of mine, too.
Is when people add shit loads of salt to their food.
Without tasting it.
Before they've even tasted it. It's like, come on, man. Like, you have an addiction to salt if you're doing that.
Totally. Totally.
Go and see a therapist and sort out your salt addiction, because it ain't coming anywhere near me.
Because actually it's quite interesting. When we were in Paris during the summer, Lucas was like, all the food isn't salty enough. But I was like, that's also like a stylistic thing. I also think, like, when we were at Paris in summer, everything was like light and fresh. And like, you don't want to be like dousing all this like delicious, light, fresh produce with like heaps of salt. Save that for the winter months when there's like nothing to taste, you know? And you're like dressing up bread in many shapes. But yeah, he was like, nothing is salty enough. You can add, you can't take away.
That's true.
I also feel like I grew up in the 80s where like my mother was using all these like faux salts, like Mrs. Dash, all these like...
I don't know what that is.
It's like a herbal, like a spice and herb mix. But uses like celery salt, garlic, like all these sort of like natural salts from vegetables and herbs instead of processed salt.
Okay.
So it was like because in the 80s people started getting salt conscious. So like lots of mums were like low sodium. Yeah. So lots of Mrs. Dash.
Too much salt is bad for you. Too much fat is bad for you.
Too much of anything.
Too much sugar is bad for you. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like, yeah. I love that. Just like. Just give it,
just calm down. Yeah, it's like, everyone calm down.
There's someone I know that gave me these cards. I don't know if I've brought this up before on the podcast. Well, I've told you before. There's someone I know that's like, I'm going to give you some of these business cards. So if you're out and someone chats you up.
Oh, you just hand it over.
And all it said was, go home and change.
Oh my God.
So fucking harsh, but quite funny.
I think a friend of mine had like a card that said like, nice shoes.
So you need one that's like, too much of anything. No good.
Yeah, just like, calm your tits.
Yeah.
But maybe I'd just get those. Mate.
Calm your tits. Would be funny. That's a new t-shirt.
And then the other side just says no.
You should, yeah. Well, they hand it back to you.
Yeah. If they get the joke, they hand it back to you and then you have a laugh. Otherwise, you're like, enjoy that. You'll figure that out tomorrow when you're
When they
sober.
Get home and they're like, no.
I'm confused.
Sorry, you've passed the intelligence. You have not passed the intelligence
not
test.
Not passed it yet.
We are not friends.
So I downed my bigger pour.
So
and now
I.
I'm feeling warm.
Yeah, that's
getting
good.
Warm.
I think we should go to your mate there, old
yes!
mate.
Yes! Gewürztraminer. I'm excited to try this in schnapps form.
I really hope it delivers for you. I do.
I love these, like, terrible labels. Like, it's just, like, utilitarian.
Well, it's
that kind of what you expect.
Yeah, it's like, I bought a French schnapps.
Yeah, I bought it.
I bought a French eau de vie. This is exactly what I want the label to look like.
Don't you think it should be in a basket of hay?
Yes.
Like, surrounded by cheese and fruit or something. Like, it has that look about it where you're where is
kitsch.
Yeah, it's kitsch. I like it. Yeah, where is my...
But it feels, it's like kitsch authentic.
Yes, I like it. I just think it's funny because it's like, they even did the wiggle cut.
Oh, yeah. To make it look more handmade.
Yeah.
Like it's on a piece of
like
script.
A paper. Yeah.
It's handmade that paper that somebody's torn away.
I do appreciate the screw top. So, let's have a sniff. I mean,
it's interesting.
It doesn't really smell like Gewürztraminer.
It is quite fragrant, though. It's like... It's weird. It's kind of smoky.
Giving me a bit of a wet leaf happening.
I thought that, and a bit of singed hair.
Yeah, it's like a weird smell. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of those...
reminds me of those...
No, it also has a raisin. It does have a raisiny thing.
But it would be, because it would be... they've produced the wine.
Sultana.
It's marked.
Like white grape. It does have that white grape.
Yeah,
smell.
But this is grappa method. Yeah. So the grapes have been pressed, wine's come out, and then this is made from the pressed skins. Yeah.
So it is giving me like wet sultana.
As opposed to the dry one.
But yeah. Like there's something, it's like a...
Oh no, you get it on the palate. Oh my god, you get it on the palate. It's like crazy.
Oh wow.
It's crazy floral, isn't it?
Wow, I didn't expect that.
So that was really interesting, and I didn't know if it's just because it was Gewürztraminer or not, but I was like, it was making me not want to drink it, the nose. I was just like...
It's almost kind of a weird nose.
It was on the edge of, like, gag reflex kicking in, because it did have this...
It does have, like, a wet, like
now a... it's better, but it, for me it was, like, burnt hair, singed, or filed nail.
Yeah, there is something sort of odd about it. But actually, when you think, like, white... If you think sultana, you smell it, and then when you taste it, that end... note is really sultana-y.
Yeah, because it's grappa.
Yeah.
But it is, I actually do think you taste the Gewürz.
I mean, it's crazy spiced. I don't know.
It's like, initially you don't get it, and then the finish is just like...
You know what I have to say?
Do you know what we should do?
Actually,
have a little bit more?
I do like
the finish
more. I want
to put a bit of water in there and see what happens.
Oh, interesting. I do like the finish more than I like everything else.
Yeah.
Quite modest there.
You gonna do it too?
It's the same as like opening up a whiskey.
Yeah, because you know that like now it smells better. So you know like the volatile aromas that they open up at different ABVs. So that's
tell
why
me.
But that's why you add water to whiskey, I think.
To like lessen the...
Yes, I think it's something to do with the structure of the alcohol when it's at a certain percentage. That's why wine at the alcohol percentages is all of these little volatile aromas are going, which is why some people...
I mean, now
add...
it smells like orange peel. Now you get
candied
fruit and like
fruitcake
and... This is actually really interesting. Because now it's like actually smells delicious and like something you want to be drinking.
I know, I was starting to feel a bit stressed about it smelling like that, considering...
It also smells like warm bread. Yeah, it has this like bready...
Panettone,
totally. Oh, this is Christmas in a glass. Hello.
She's like, it's all sorted. Gwen's going to be rocking up in Austria with a case of Gewürztraminer Mark.
I mean, this is the thing. Like, things like Panettone. You know, I never liked Panettone because I always thought, like, ugh, like, people give you this thing and it's, like, dry and bready with, so, like, a raisin every
now
and
again. Yeah, but it's not dry when you have it a good one.
That's what I mean. Like, Lucas last year found, I wish I could remember the brand, found a really amazing brand.
God. Panettone.
And I'm obsessed. It's, like, so, like, yeasty and spongy and, like,
And we're at home, airy. Like, it's like a cloud
so
when
light.
It's made properly.
It's like candy floss for adults.
Mate, it's like a scone. It's like when
I
was on
so
British
good.
Air. I told you about British Airways. Yeah, I've talked about it. British Airways scone. That was a joke. Absolute joke. Worst scone I've ever had.
So I don't know whether it tastes better, but it smells better.
It smells and tastes better for me.
I might have put
because
too much water in mine.
Okay. Do you want to smell mine?
I definitely think that the smell is much better. Yeah, it smells really good now. like all that singed hair and
it's gone. That was really gone. Like,
yeah, it was like not
that good. Happened on the plane actually earlier on today that I was on. I don't think it's the ovens on the planes. There's a particular smell, and I've got. I know I'm hypersensitive with that sort of stuff. I think, but there was like a good 20 minutes where I could just smell like the smell of singed hair, and I was sort of looking around. So I was like,
is anyone on fire? Who's on fire? Well,
that was it. I was just like, oh,
but I was waiting for you to find someone like vaping, and you'd be like. I see you. You literally look like that emoji when you do that.
I am, yeah. I go full Japanese on that. No photos. But I did look around, so I was like, is something happening that shouldn't be happening? But I wasn't trying to police.
You're like, for once.
And then I was like, is there something dangerous to us all? Because the singed hair thing is like, it's not.
It could be wires, it could be all kinds of things.
Yeah, or someone's set on fire.
I mean, you're
fire.
On an airplane, there's like gross hair. Have you ever looked under a plane seat? Don't ever do it. Like, it's horrible. Lucas one time was like, is there a. And he shone a light under a Air Canada Air Rouge flight, and we were like, huh! It was horrible. Like, they do not clean these things.
And how. Okay.
They're like dust bunnies in the air. Flying dust bunnies, gross.
So what? What's a dust bunny?
It's like, you know, like the build up of fluff that you find in the corner. You're like, you
don't
pull a piece
look
of
around my house
like,
for them.
Just any,
because they will be there.
They're everywhere. Dust bunnies.
So they're like the dust tumbleweed that sometimes appears on my.
So
it's
a cute name, dust bunny.
Yeah.
Where it's just like an accumulation of dust, fluff, hair, and
I imagine
debris.
Like a dust zombie bunny sort of thing. Like, it's not a good thing.
It's because you see them as, like, nefarious creatures running around.
They're up to no good. Yes. They shouldn't be up to no good.
Stop.
But how
I know that you're like, oh, no.
Get out of here. Yeah. It's funny, that little space under the chair in front of you, isn't it? Like, because you're in such a tiny space on a plane. And it's like, nothing pisses me off more.
I mean, we are not big people. You're taller than I am.
Yeah, but the upper part of my legs.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You're much taller than I am. You have long legs.
But so whenever I'm in a seat on a low cost airline,
I'm a short person.
Yeah, my knees are on the seat every
Imagine
time.
Imagine being 2 meters tall, like, or being like 6'4". Like, this is not a.
But what do you think about when people put? You know, they're sitting in their seat, and then they either try to put their bag under their own seat. Or they put their feet under their own seat, and I'm like, hey, buddy,
the
metal rail. What, you
it's
just
to
kick
separate
it off.
Us. We're like, that's the separation wall. That's where my feet go.
So that's
out.
When you were police, or would you just passively aggressive?
Oh, I am you and I both take a lot of flights and have taken a lot of flights in our lives.
So what do you do if somebody's crossed that line? You passively aggressive kick it back up.
And if they persist to the point of like,
what do you do?
Not, then I'll say something.
Do you tap them on the shoulder or just like lean over the chair?
I'll just be like, I think you're in my space. Yeah, just like.
Excuse me, sorry. I'm sure you're just doing it by accident. But could you move your thing, please?
There's also nothing. There's nothing greater than making them feel like they've hurt you. It's like, I know that you don't mean to be like in my space, but you're in my space. It's the same as that middle person. I'm very conscious.
The van spreader in the middle.
I'm very like conscientious because I know when I've been sat in the middle of people, the armrests belong to you. They do, because you get fuck all else. You don't get a wall to lean on. You don't get the leg space. You get the armrests. So I let whoever's in the middle have both armrests. I mean, come on. That's all they get.
See, I've never seen them as that, but I'm wary of... I also
I
look at the size of
it.
The person. So I had this... Oh, my God. I had the weird situation.
I was like, do I have it? No, I haven't.
Okay, I have to tell you this story. So the weird is looking for a dust bunny.
Yeah, I was...
It's
no,
not
I,
a fucking
no,
dust
I,
bunny when...
I thought it was a hole, but the leaf was... I have a leaf that I've tracked in.
Yeah, you do have some kind of dust bunny on your foot, though. Sorry.
It's probably my tights.
Yeah.
Bits of Ludwig.
So I'm sitting on this plane... I can't remember where I was going or where I was coming from. I had the weirdest situation. So I was in by the window.
And this is what happens with schnapps.
Yeah, the person, tangents. This is the tangent segment. And there was somebody in the middle and a very large person. And I was not sure, I would just say an androgynous person because I didn't know female, male. But I assume male, but very small head, sort of feminine face. So I didn't want to. Anyway,
assume, yeah.
It doesn't
course.
Matter. But a large person, very tall, but like, you know, like wouldn't sort of engage with you even just to sort of smile, but just sort of, but like not just the armrest, like, you know, like
it when took elbows, over everything.
So I was, I'm small, you right? Quite small. And I'm already leaning in the side, but I'm like this, where I have to turn my shoulder like, in. And I'm like, it's only an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I can just do it. They're massive. This must be way worse for them.
Also uncomfortable and feeling weird and like.
And also when you're locked in A or F.
Yeah.
Like, if you're in those window seats and there's two people there, like, you really don't want to fuck anyone off. No. So you just, I'm in, and I'm like, that's cool. I'm not going to get up for the loo. I'm just going to sort of stay here and stare at the window so I can imagine I've got space.
I always get an aisle seat.
But the weirdest thing that happened, right? So then I'm like, oh, God, I can't wait to get out of here. It was very bizarre. So, you know, like, when you're landing,
yeah,
the plane makes you sort of,
oh yeah, the little,
you move forward a bit, don't you? And then you go back. Like, there's this feeling of, like, we're slowing down, and then we go back. This person, this large person, I don't know if it's just because they were large or what, they went, this was, it was EasyJet. Because you know, like, EasyJet, the seat in front of you, they've got those cardboard advertising things.
It's always, like, something about 03, and I'm always confused about the, like... This person went
forward so much that they're connected.
With the seat in front of them.
But not just the seat.
Poor them. The and person.
But not with force or anything.
Just, like, a
but
gentle...
But this person's mouth went fully onto that cardboard
Stop
advertising.
It.
Right here, so it's like this. It was like this.
Boop.
And then they just hung there for a bit, so it was like lit on cardboard ad. And I was just looking, I was just like,
what just happened?
And I felt like kind of disturbed, and then like the plane actually brought them back, and they didn't even sort of react.
Not flinch.
It was the most bizarre thing I'd ever seen on an aeroplane.
Just kissing that, like, 03, whatever it is, advertisement. 2-for-1 bagels, or I don't know.
Yeah, like, so save a pound, save 2 pence if you order a coffee with a chocolate bar. And it was just so odd. And after that, I was just like, oh, I can't wait to get off this plane. This is awful. It was just so weird. And then I just thought, I've never, because I've got a bit of a
also
germ think, OCD.
Yeah, I was going to say,
like, I'm never fucking touching any of those things again.
Also, when you think about, like, how little they clean those planes.
I mean, they're definitely not sanitizing the little cardboard thing there. Imagine how many people are accidentally kissing.
The thing that makes me laugh is, like, they have those, like, things over the seat backs. But, like, they don't wash those. And those EasyJet planes are, like, those are, like, buses. They're, like, public buses. I mean, really. The plane lands, people exit, people come on. They don't, like, clean up. They just, like, make sure there's no crumbs on your seat.
They
They're
do
like,
they do vacuum.
Very quickly. Because I've definitely got onto a plane.
And how about Ryanair, though? Because Ryanair...
I don't fly with them because they're the
awful.
Worst.
Okay, so I've got two things about Ryanair. Ryanair, always crumbs on the seat. No effort to clean at all. Two, the only thing I think about on takeoff is... Imagine if this bright, horrible, rancid yellow is the last colour I ever see.
I'm just, like, angry with them because I flew with them, like, 10 years ago and then didn't fly with them for 8 years because they had... I'd chosen them because they were much cheaper than the competitor flying out of Schiphol in Amsterdam, and they were flying out of Eindhoven.
Is that how you say it? Schiphol?
Yeah.
I always said Schiphol.
No, it's Schiphol.
Okay.
Schiphol. Everyone says Schiphol. I don't know why.
I don't know.
And then, so I flew from Eindhoven. And when I got there, of course, I'm like super nerd. I have a folder with my stuff in it. I'm going to see my parents. And they're like, oh, where's your boarding card? It's like, well, that's why I lined up for this, like, that you'd give me a boarding card. Oh, no, you were supposed to print that at home.
Yeah, £60.
Yeah. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I was like, why would I have printed all this other garbage? Like, show me where it says, because I bought the ticket through a secondary, you know, one of these, like, cheap flights. So it didn't say anywhere that I had to print it. So, yeah, it was €50. And then on the way home, they made us all weigh our luggage before getting on the plane. Normally, you do that when you're checking in, and they make sure, and then they don't count any duty-free. Now, this place was, like, empty your pockets. I had a sandwich and a camera in my pocket.
You have to surrender the sandwich?
She was like, you better eat that sandwich. And I was like, but then it's going to be inside me. It'll still be weighed the same. But she was like, yeah, eat the sandwich or toss it. Like, you're over. And if you're over, then it's £35 and your thing goes in the hold. They got so much money from people. I was like, never again. So I didn't fly with them again until we came back from Marrakesh last year.
Yeah.
And that was only because I had to. There was no other flight.
Only direct flight.
Yeah.
So that is bullshit.
Yeah, I was like, fuck you, man. Like, everyone's like, you've gotten 50 euros from me for not printing a boarding card. You printed me, like, a tiny piece of cardboard.
Why eat a sandwich?
Like, and then eat a sandwich.
You better eat that sandwich. Then
they were weighing people, like, luckily in my suitcase I bought, like, a gin or whatever to take home. Everyone else was, like, they're duty-free. They were, like, in the hold, 35 pounds. Boop. Gone.
That's not correct.
No, it's bullshit. This was at Gatwick. Yeah, never again. That's how you lose customers.
And just one little bit of gossip about Ryanair. So,
just between you and me and
everybody else, the hundreds of people around the world. So, once on their wine list, I looked at it and it said...
You have a wine list?
Oh, you know, their food. I've never looked. Oh, yeah, it's not a wine list. Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. Yeah. So, their little food and drink card. And it said the list of the wines, and then it said Prosecco, blah, 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 blah. And then on the label, it was actually a Cava.
Oh, so it was better than it what?
Well, I don't know. But they were marketing it as Prosecco, and it was clearly, because the photo even said that it wasn't Prosecco. And
they were just like, Spanish. Like Prosecco. So, like, if you say Cava, no one's going
to
drink it.
I mean, if that's the amount of effort they're putting into it, it's like...
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, if they can't even get that right.
50 euros for a boarding card. It was like,
so they tried to do that to me once, and I'd printed off... I tried to print, but my printer was broken, so there were just these... very no, faint no, yeah. outlines. And the woman was like, I can see. Yeah, she was like,
good effort.
She did actually, she was fair. She just said, I can see that you've actually tried, so I won't charge you. But you better print them for the way back. I was like, fuck.
Okay. And my mum's printer with the like crazy keyboard. This smells delicious, yeah. By the way.
So, now, last one. So, Grappa di Chianti. There's no brand. Delicious. It's 2015 vintage. And this is actually made by a friend of mine. Who happens to be German. He's in his 80s. He just does this as a project in his garage. So I met him... it would have been actually 3 years... I met him in 2011 when I was working in Chianti at winery. And he's like, Emily, you got to come over. We'll make some grappa, blah, blah, blah. So we just went over to his house. It's in his garage. He's got a pot still.
Amazing.
And he got German sausage and German Riesling out. And we just made grappa in the morning. It was very, very... It's much easier than mine.
Yeah.
But he was getting lots of grapes from lots of different grape producers, just getting all their pressings.
Like, yeah.
And making it for fun. So this is the barrel-aged grappa.
I mean, it smells amazing.
So no one can buy this.
It has a real raisiny also. It does have a... You know what it smells like a tiny bit?
Honey?
No.
Butterscotch?
There's one caramel. Weird smell in there that's...
Don't say Sinchere again.
No, it's not Sinchere. Yeah. It's turpentine.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably much boozier than the others as well.
It's like on the, it's at the very, super at the end of everything you smell, but there is something like a painter's atelier, let's say. It actually has a romantic smell.
This will be at the end, we'll just, if we drink a whole bottle, we'll become blind. We won't be able to walk.
No, it's so small that it's like a romantic smell. It does make you think like you're in a painter's. And it's very grapey on the mouth.
Yeah, and woody though, it's got a bit of tannin from the wood and...
Very interesting.
Yeah.
It's nice. Not that we were worried about what we would talk about with this episode, but I actually feel like...
Well, we've just slagged off a load of airlines, so that's fine, how dirty they are.
But I kind of feel like this is what is great about schnapps, actually. Is it's that, like...
The ludicrous conversations that you can have, and the tangents that it leads you on.
It's post-dinner, you're having a sip of something, it's boozy. I mean, this smells really interesting... It's definitely the booziest of everything.
Yep. And the richest also in flavour and starting to get a little bit more savoury. And yeah, so, you know, this is a little bit of a selection of... I think we'll wrap it up because otherwise we're going to go...
We'll start slagging off everyone.
If we don't want to get into trouble.
Well, I think we might already be there. We might be already in trouble.
I don't mind if I'm in trouble with Ryanair.
Unless they want to send us some like...
People are probably vaping all the time on Ryanair.
Emily's like, no!
Yeah, I actually think Ryanair would be one of the places where I'd start telling off the cabin crew. I think that's where I'd get to, because it'd just be so unruly.
I could just imagine this as like a cut, like a wish that there was like, a budget to do a cutaway and you were like on a Ryanair flight, like, you, no, stop it, something's on fire, smells like hair, you stop fucking vaping. You would just be like...
Yeah, great. You haven't disabled the slide properly. What are you doing? That's dangerous. I would be. If I had seen that, I would. If I. That's why I don't sit in row one. especially on those crappy new EasyJet planes when row one means that you're knee to knee with the cabin crew.
You're like,
they've removed the bulkhead.
Don't you think that all the creepy dudes sit up front to like hit on the stewardesses?
Yeah.
I mean, see it all the time. They're sitting there like, hi, and the girls are like, hee.
But it's actually that on those new EasyJet planes, one A, one B, one C, you're literally knee to knee with the crew because they've tried to cram an extra row in. The other side's okay. But like, I don't want to sit that close. But it's not
shit to sit in the front row because you can't put your stuff underneath. You have to put everything up top.
Yeah, so you can't get up quickly because then you have to go around. Yeah, I agree.
I usually do 6 or 7 because you don't have to pay the extra cost. It's like a bit cheaper and like, you're row 6, you're good.
Yeah.
If you hit somewhere, we're all dead anyway. 6 or 7. I try to go 6 to 9. That's my...
I like that. But I don't mind. I just don't like being... I don't mind being at the back if I can get off quickly.
No, I don't like flying. And the back for me is too... you feel the turbulence a bit more.
Yeah, I agree.
So I sit wing forward.
Yeah.
Aisle. Have to be an aisle. I got trapped once on a transatlantic and I had to like do ninja moves over a woman in the middle of the night.
Oh, mate. Try flying Norwegian London to Miami.
I've heard they're terrible. They also cancel flights all the time.
Well, you're basically sitting on rocks the whole time because there's no cushioning. But they're like wipeable, clean sort of surfaces, almost like a porn...
Very Scandi.
Yeah, almost like a brothel sofa like a sort of thing. Couch. They're just... Yeah. So you're sitting... I'm sitting... Oh, and I got put in by the window because it was for a job. Sorry, job. But but the way it worked...
Sorry, job.
So I'm by the window, and then I'm by two people, so I'm like, oh, God, this is, like,
very... I hate the window. It's the worst for me.
And, like, honestly, I couldn't... it was so uncomfortable that... And then, because they've got a really crappy in-flight service where you have to pay for everything...
And they're, like, Canada Rouge like this.
Yeah, you pre-order a nice and tasty meal, and then what you end up getting is, like, overcooked fusilli with, like, a watery tomato sauce and raw red peppers inside.
Look,
and
you're just like,
this isn't even digestible.
Canada Rouge. We flew from Berlin to Toronto and it was 1,200 euros. That's not a discount price, let me tell you.
Yeah.
It was the only direct flight and Lucas ordered, like, he thought he was being cool ordering some sort of vegetarian halal meal and it came with, like, it was, like, undercooked rice with some, like, undercooked bell pepper in it. That was it. I was like, happy to have my shitty chicken and corn and mashed potatoes. And there was no TV screen. He like lost his mind.
Oh, we did have the TV screen, which also acted as the bar because you have to pay for everything. So then I was just like, Bailey's, swipe the card.
Oh, wow.
Bailey's, swipe the card. I was like, I'm just going to drink Bailey's until I get drunk Bailey's I fall asleep. Yeah, me too.
There was a year, KLM, they used to do a monthly like country of the month where they would like do the food, which is actually kind of cool. So I remember this particular month, it was like Africa month. So they were like, the liquor is Amarula.
Oh my God, I've got
Amarula. So good. And it makes me think of like an old regular of my Norm that used to be a regular at the Dominion Tavern in Canada. And he couldn't sit because he only had one lung. So they like built a little footstool for him. And when he passed away, they put
a plaque
for him. And I would still pour out an Amarula for the homie on his anniversary. But he loved Amarula, which is bizarre because he drank like Labatt Blue. But so on this particular flight, these two girls in front of me, the stewardess kept being like you should have an Amarula because it's all free on this transatlantic flight. And she's like, it's Africa month. Just have an Amarula. And the girls were like, no, we don't really want to drink. Like we're trying to have an Amarula. Like, Africa month.
What does that even mean? It's Africa month.
Amarula's from Africa.
Well, I know that. I've just been there.
Yeah.
But like, why were they doing an Africa month?
Because they would just do like every month they would do a different country and then the food served on the plane would be of that country. So they were doing like African food.
So you wouldn't want to be there on Cuba month.
Yeah.
Because you're like, great, some refried beans, but thank God there's Havana Club.
I mean, I'm still curious about what happened to the guy that downed the BA flight out of London. Remember that news? There was like one man's horrible toilet experience like down to the flight. Like they had to turn around and go back to Heathrow. One man's smelly... You have to look it up. Smelly poo. Like grounds flight.
But do you think that's because they thought that the like septic tank...
I don't know what they thought. Someone took a shit an hour and a half into the flight and they were like, we can't... The air quality is too bad. We have to turn around. Can you imagine me, like, I do shit so bad it grounded the plane.
But maybe they didn't empty all the waste out and it'd, like...
I love that you... I want to know who this man is one day.
I want to know the details. It sounds ridiculous. I think...
You could look it up. It was on the BBC. It was really funny.
I do believe that it happened.
It's quite funny.
But it sounds ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Because it's like, was it his actual... Like, did it get logged? Literally. That's a good pun, though, isn't it? Did it get logged in there? Or was it that it was, like... It was so smelly, or was it because of the tank itself?
I mean,
itself
the
was
headline
so...
was amazing. It just said smelly poo grounds. I mean, this was going to be a long flight. It would have been like a... I feel like it would have been like a fresh plane. This was like a flight from Heathrow to like
maybe
the
guy
Sahara
that pumps the waste out didn't show up or just ticked the box. So it's all done and forgot to turn the machine on, like.
I just want to know, like, how embarrassing that is that you're like, my
but
shit.
But surely they didn't know whose poo it was.
Of course they would. It's not like what everyone lining up for the loo took a shit an hour and a half in. Yeah. You know when you're the person that took a super smelly dump, you'd be like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. I hope no one goes in after me. And then you're like, oh my God, we're turning around.
But the person who did it would know, but not everyone else.
No.
Maybe. That's the point.
I want to see a confessional
from
this
man. It's
not
like the crew would be like,
yo!
F, you know, Z7F, it was him.
F,
we saw him
in the green shirt. We saw you. I mean, you also didn't wash your hands.
I mean, that would be me if I was the cabin crew. It was him. I'd keep being lost. You're not coming back.
Oh my God, too good. Oh my God, this episode. We thought it would be a short one. It's turning into the longest airline bitch fest of all time.
Right.
So let's wrap it up.
Yeah, we love you, British Airways.
Yeah, I actually do love British Airways.
I do too.
Always. Especially... BA. Send us home for Christmas. If you work for BA and you want to send us home for Christmas, my parents live in Hampshire and I'd love an extra flight.
And Ryanair, don't bother.
You can't save yourself. It's too late.
Drink some Prosecco and let us know what it tastes like.
Yes. Perfect. So, you can find us...
On Twitter at juice_podcast.
On Instagram at juice.podcast.
On our website at juice.show, where we've got tote bags that are available.
Yeah.
And please subscribe. We love that you're tuning in. It's really important that you subscribe with us. So we obviously have our YouTube channel for those that are on audio. The videos get published on there. It's completely free, advert free as well. So we'd love to keep you on board with us. And
also, if you're having schnapps, tell us what schnapps you're having.
Yeah.
We're down with the winter warmers, as you can see. It turns into an airport airline bitch fest. So until next week.
Until next week.
I'm Gwen Douglas.
I'm Emily Harmon.
Cheers!
That doesn't change.
We're going to have the same.
Yay!